Charter Communications, better known as Spectrum or Time Warner Cable, is sitting on a time bomb. They sell internet, cable, and mobile to over 30 million Americans, but they're buried under $95 billion in debt and struggling to keep up with the interest alone. How did it get this bad? Well, what if I told you that decision wasn't really made by Charter? It was orchestrated by someone outside the company, a man with no executive title and no public spotlight, yet somehow all the power. This is the story of one of the largest and strangest acquisitions in history, and how it left Charter with mountains of debt. In the 90s, Charter was looking to punch above its weight. It wasn't a small company, but compared to giants like Comcast and AT&T, it might as well have been. They had just done an IPO and they were looking to aggressively expand. Charter began acquiring over a dozen cable companies, gradually expanding its subscriber count by 5x. A fast way to expand, but in order to do this, it took on a lot of debt. Over $20 billion by 2009. That's normal in the world of acquisitions, but it was also a lot of debt, and it was weighing heavily on Charter. For context, the interest payments alone on that were above $70 million. And that's not even including paying back the debt itself. That's just the interest on top of the debt. This was bad, but it was about to get worse. Their cable market began to decline. In 2009, their video revenue was flat, and their advertising revenue fell 19.2% in 1 year. Then, it happened. Charter missed an interest payment of $73 million, and shortly after, the company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The Nasdaq suspended their stock from the exchange, but this wasn't the end of Charter. By the end of the year, the company emerged from bankruptcy and slowly began to rebuild. They were able to remove $8 billion in debt, but still had to carry $13 billion. Why is all this important? Because two crucial things happened. One, the leadership at Charter was overhauled. A new CEO was introduced, Tom Rutledge, the former president of Time Warner Cable. The more important detail, though, is a new investor. In March of 2013, 27.3% of Charter was purchased by Liberty Media, a company controlled by a man called John C. Malone. Remember that name because it'll become important later. They had gone through bankruptcy and a stock delisting, two terrible experiences for any conglomerate, but Charter was going to make one of the boldest moves in telecom history. We've seen how debt can bury a company, but exposed Wi-Fi can bury your privacy, your passwords, private messages, browsing history. Everything's at risk. That's why I'm excited about today's sponsor, ProtonVPN. ProtonVPN is a lightning-fast, zero-logs VPN built by the same team behind ProtonMail and ProtonPass. With over 10,000 servers in 110-plus countries, secure core routing through privacy-friendly Switzerland, and built-in ad-blocking via NetShield, it gives you truly private, buffer-free browsing. I recently had to review confidential SEC documents on a coffee shop network. One click on ProtonVPN and I knew my traffic now had a great security layer against bad actors. Later that same day, I switched countries to watch a show on my favorite streaming platform that was only available overseas, buffer-free, and seamless. To be honest, having a VPN in 2025 is less of a luxury and more of a necessity. Whether you're working on sketchy public Wi-Fi, streaming content locked to other regions, or simply hate being tracked, ProtonVPN keeps your data locked down. It's open source, independently audited, and community funded, so you know they're fighting for your rights, not their bottom line. If you value your online privacy, check out ProtonVPN using my link in the description, protonvpn.com/logicallyanswered, to get a 64% discount and start browsing securely from anywhere. Thank you to Proton for supporting our videos. Charter had regained its footing. It was managing its debt okay, making slow small acquisitions, and its revenue was growing steadily. For the first time in a while, Charter was staying profitable. But now, Tom Rutledge was going to make a risky play. Charter had their eyes on one company, Time Warner Cable. This was their prize acquisition, but it wouldn't be easy. Charter attempted to merge with Time Warner 3 different times, but each time, Time Warner rejected the offer. With failed attempt after attempt, Thomas Rutledge wrote an open letter to Time Warner Cable CEO. "I believe we have a significant opportunity to put our companies together in a way that will create maximum long-term value for shareholders and employees of both companies." Rutledge's offer was $132.50 a share, worth about $37 billion, which, once again, was rejected. The offer was much lower than Time Warner was looking for, but why was Charter going for such a massive acquisition in the first place? Well, they needed to scale. At their size, they weren't exactly winning, and would slowly get crushed by other giants. Telecom, cable, and streaming companies were starting to consolidate. Disney, Netflix, Amazon, AT&T, Verizon, and many more were beginning to buy up other companies. Charter was much smaller than all these companies, but the most important competitor here is Comcast. They had the same prize as Charter, Time Warner Cable, except they were much bigger. Comcast offered $158.82 per share, much higher than Charter's offer, which was accepted. Charter had lost and the deal was done. So Charter made an agreement to acquire another telecom company, Brighthouse Networks, for a bit over $10 billion. But then, something unexpected happened. Comcast faced a gargantuan, insurmountable opponent, the US government. Even though both companies had agreed on the acquisition, regulators weren't about to approve it. The industry was already moving towards monopolies, and two of the biggest coming together would make things much, much worse. So in April of 2015, after delay after delay, Comcast called off its merger with Time Warner Cable. This was Charter's chance. They quickly swooped in to reopen negotiations. Comcast fell through, so maybe this time would be different. On the fifth attempt at an acquisition from Charter, Time Warner finally relented. On May 26, 2015, the two companies announced that Charter would merge with Time Warner Cable in a deal valued at $78.7 billion. But what about Brighthouse? Well, Charter went ahead with that too. Why did regulators approve Charter's deal and not Comcast's? Well, Comcast's size helped it with the bargaining, but not with the government. Charter, however, being smaller, was not seen as a threat to competition. Charter had invested almost $90 billion in this deal, propelling them from a small player to one of the market leaders. But how? In 2015, Charter's annual profit was barely $1 billion. Not to mention, TWC had more customers and over four times their revenue. So how on earth did this deal worth $90 billion even happen? To make things even weirder, these companies became Charter after the deal as opposed to Time Warner Cable. So how did an underdog acquire a giant? All of this comes back to one man, John Malone, a billionaire and the mastermind of the story. He isn't the CEO of Charter, but he might as well have been. Keep in mind, through his company, now called Liberty Broadband, he owned around 25% of Charter shares, a huge amount for one person in a conglomerate. But it's not just the shares, but the power it gave him. Those shares gave Malone 48% of the voting power. When Charter announced the acquisition, Malone's name was nowhere to be seen. He wasn't on the investor call either, but his presence is clear. In fact, this isn't the first time he's done one of these deals. He used to control Telecommunications Inc. in the 80s and 90s, which at the time was the world's biggest cable operator. But eventually, it was acquired by AT&T for over $40 billion. Then, sometime later, he invests in Charter and becomes the largest shareholder. He gains a seat on the board and massive voting power. Then, soon after, Charter aggressively pushes to acquire Time Warner. Malone is essentially royalty in the cable industry. But how did Charter acquire Warner, who was so much bigger? Well, the Charter deal was done the exact same way as Charter's cable acquisitions in the 2000s. Debt. Lots and lots of debt. After the acquisition, Charter's debt climbed to $62 billion. Malone invested another $5 billion into the new Charter, of which he now owned 20%. That's a huge jump in share value, even with an extra $5 billion investment. The acquisition boosted Malone's share value dramatically and made him a lot of money, but not everyone was pleased about that. In 2017, a lawsuit was filed at Malone along with Tom Rutledge and several Charter board members. The court document stated that Liberty Broadband controlled Charter and caused the defendant directors and officers of Charter to structure the issuances of equity in a way favorable to Liberty Broadband and detrimental to Charter. Essentially, they had orchestrated a deal that benefited themselves at the expense of other shareholders, where Liberty Broadband, Malone's company, received Charter shares at discounted prices. Malone and the directors then had to pay an $87 million settlement to other investors. But there's something else. Charter's current debt isn't $62 billion, it's actually over $95 billion. And just a couple of years ago, it was almost $100 billion. In fact, 2024 was the first year in over a decade that Charter hasn't grown its debt. This is already bad, but when we look at their debt-to-equity ratio, it becomes frightening. This ratio is the total debt divided by the shareholder equity, essentially how much is owed versus the company value. A ratio of 1 would mean $1 owed for $1 of equity value, which is common in the telecom industry, a normal amount even, which is about where Comcast is. 2 is a bit high and 3 and above is worrisome. Charter's debt to equity ratio is 6.1. 6.1. For every $1 of actual company value, they owe $6+ to someone else. This is unbelievable. Value Investing estimates that the likelihood of Charter going bankrupt is 22%. But where did this extra debt even come from? Well, it wasn't new mergers or acquisitions. It was buying themselves. Since the merger, Charter began aggressive share buybacks. In the September 2024 financial report, it says, since the beginning of its buyback program in September 2016 through September 30th, 2024, Charter has purchased approximately 162.3 million shares of Class A common stock and Charter Holdings common units for approximately $73.3 billion, including purchases from Liberty Broadband. They spent almost the entire Time Warner acquisition price, again, $73 billion, which explains the jump in debt to almost $100 billion. Except this time, they weren't even buying customers or assets. So why do this? Well, there's a few reasons. For one, this increases the amount of earnings per share without needing to generate more revenue. So it makes the share price look much stronger and more attractive. It also greatly benefits existing shareholders like John Malone, hence that mention of Liberty Broadband. Charter has been addicted to debt from the 90s to now, and it seems like they're paying the price. Interest expenses have been climbing rapidly, from $1.06 billion in 2022 to $1.34 billion in 2024, almost $300 million more just on interest. And that's not all. In Q4 of 2024, Charter lost 177,000 internet subscribers. Video customers also decreased by 123,000, and total wireless voice customers by 274,000. Total revenue did grow, but by less than 1%. They achieved their goal and became one of the biggest telecom and cable companies. But now, they have a different, arguably tougher problem, survival. The story of Charter isn't a giant overstep and a sudden collapse, at least not after their first bankruptcy. But it has left Charter stuck in a squeeze. They're a giant with massive revenue, yes, but limited growth. You could even argue shrinking revenue at that. They have huge debt, massive interest payments, and a shrinking breathing room. One wrong step could spell disaster. And almost all of this seemed to benefit one man. To be fair, their debt is shrinking along with their debt-to-equity ratio, but Charter must tread carefully. I'm guessing they don't want to go bankrupt again. Alright, real talk. Since 2017, we've dropped over 1,050 videos and racked up 150 million views. That's ESPN level numbers, yet somehow we still haven't reached 1 million subscribers. If you've been watching without subscribing all this time, what are you doing, man? Hit that subscribe button right now so that we can finally make 1 million a reality. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.